Welcome to Diversity Discourse, the official podcast of Minority Business Entrepreneur Magazine. This is the space where we create meaningful conversations around supplier diversity, diverse business entrepreneurship, and diversity, equity, and inclusion with some of the industry's most engaging and successful entrepreneurs, thought leaders, and experts. Now, let's get started with today's episode.
Hello there, it's Tanya Isay, publisher of MBE Magazine, and welcome to Diversity Discourse. So listen, if you're a Black-owned business in Kansas City and you're low on cash or you can't meet your payroll, you want to listen to today's episode because I have a special guest who may be able to help you get the funds to help you grow your business. Brandon Calloway is here with me today. Brandon is the CEO and co-founder of a startup nonprofit called GIFT, Generating Income for Tomorrow, which grows Black-owned businesses in Kansas City's urban core with a new model. GIFT is creating one new job for every $10,000 in grant funding by breaking down barriers to financing and networks in high-poverty areas. In 2 years, GIFT has already given $687,000 worth of grants, helping 35 Black-owned businesses to expand and creating 58 new jobs in Kansas City's urban core. In the spring of 2022, the organization opened the GIFT Business Center to provide technical resources to even more Black-owned businesses. Brandon, welcome to Diversity Discourse.
Thank you for having me.
Well, we appreciate you being here. Now, tell me a little bit about where you came up with the idea for this organization.
Yeah. And so I am one of three co-founders. And so me and my other two co-founders, we were in a Facebook group called BOBKC, so Black-owned Businesses Kansas City. And one of the founders, a guy named Christopher Stewart. So Chris lives in Houston, but he's from Kansas City. And he was frustrated and posted in the group about being tired of not seeing Black businesses and Black communities every time he came back to Kansas City, and that there were 15,000 people in the group. And if we all put in $10 a month, we could then, you know, fund Black businesses ourselves. We wouldn't have to wait on anything. So I was just a random person in the group, just like everybody else. And I saw his Facebook post and all of the comments and the discourse happening around that. And so as I sat there for 1 hour and I thought of all the ways that it wouldn't work and came up with a solution to every last one of those ways. And at the end of that hour, I reached out to Chris and said, hey, this is like there's a path forward to turn this into a real thing. And Chris ignored me because I was a random guy on Facebook. And that's what you do when random people message you. And then I messaged him again. And our third co-founder, Cornell Gorman, had gone to high school with Chris, and he saw the posts as well. And so he reached out to Chris, and I didn't know Cornell either. And so Chris got the three of us together, and we spent a little bit of time talking about what it was that it could actually look like. And then we just did it. We figured we'd try it and give it a shot and see what works. So that's how we got going. All three of us grew up on the east side of Kansas City. Even Chris, even though he lives in Houston now, he grew up in Kansas City. And so we all grew up on the east side. We all have seen the economic desert. You know, the east side of Kansas City is our historically redlined area. We've also all seen the economic prosperity in all of the areas around it. And so I had long been thinking of ways that we create transformative change in the Black community on the east side and multi-generational, so that specifically we have a lot of programs that are targeted to young children, but I wanted to find a solution that was multi-generational. And so that's how we got started.
So you call GIFT a movement. What do you mean by that?
One of the things that we talk about a lot is that we are powered by the people. And so the money that we've raised, we just wrapped up our third year. And so we're into our fourth year now. And so the money that we raised in our first 3 years was possible because of the individuals in Kansas City of all racial, all backgrounds coming together and making it happen. So it's a movement because it's while, you know, we spearhead it and we make it happen, it's definitely not just us. It is true collective economics and truly powered by the community.
So are you getting any corporate funding, or is this strictly community fundraising or crowdfunding? How are you able to do this?
Yeah, so every year we raise a little bit more money, and we have three different buckets of how we raise money. So individuals, the people who are, you know, giving directly out of their own pocket, either a one-time gift or making a monthly donation. We get some foundation support, and then we get some corporate gifts. And so we've seen all three of those numbers go up every year. But the huge chunk of what we get is individuals. But we do have individuals, corporations, and foundations. Corporations are always our lowest bucket. Corporations are very slow to come around. We have raised around $3 million in our first 3 years. And of that $3 million in that 3 year time frame, around, what is it, $250,000 of that $3 million has come from corporations, and around $1.6 million has come from individuals. So you can see the large discrepancy,
right,
of corporations versus individuals.
You know, that's surprising because, Brennan, as you know, as well as I do, 3 years ago, after the protests because of the George Floyd murder, all these corporations pledged to, you know, help uplift the Black community, particularly as it relates to businesses. So I would have thought that, or I would think that you all would have gotten more corporate funding. So I'm really surprised by that.
Yeah. So, I mean, there were a lot of statements that people didn't follow through on. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of commitment that they didn't mean money. They meant what we've seen a lot. What I've seen a lot, especially in these last 3 years, is that they're leaning on financial literacy and financial education, and so they're everybody is trying to outteach the problem rather than give to the problem. And then the further we get away from it, the less they care. We're in the middle of a fundraiser right now that we've been doing. It's an annual fundraiser around Black-led organizations, and that's the lowest engagement that we've gotten. People have definitely forgot.
Yeah, and you know what? You talked about them wanting to teach their way out of it, and when the number one challenge for Black-owned businesses is access to capital.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, and so, I mean, it's access to all different types of capital, and that's kind of, so what our program, when we started it, so first off, when we started it, we didn't have any money, right? And so the idea of we can give out $150,000 a month, because if we all put in $10, we get $150,000, we can give that to a different business. We didn't have any money, so we couldn't do that. I took it upon myself when we needed to actually build the program. I cold called a bunch of Black businesses and asked them, you know, what do you need? We're going to do this grant program. Mm-hmm. What do you need? Other than money, what do you need? But what are you, you know, if we gave you money to fund a project specifically, what would you need? So that's how we built our program. We also found that there's a lack of network and connection. And so we've been able, we've given out, so earlier you said our 2 year numbers. So now we're 3 years in. So we've given out $1,237,000 to 63 different businesses overall. But we give all of them a year's worth of business coaching, accounting, legal, and then marketing assistance. And the goal being that after that 1 year, we are helping them become bank ready and helping them expand their network and helping them get access to other forms of capital. We've been able to facilitate some VC conversations with some of our grant recipients. And so yeah, the teaching is, you know, it's necessary, but we can teach in stride while we're getting access to capital.
Right. So at what stage, for most of these businesses, what stage are they at? Are they mostly startups or are there some established businesses?
Yeah, so we give grants to businesses that, like, in all ranges of their life cycle. The big exception is that we don't do idea phase. So a business has to be underway, already generating revenue or moving in some way, shape, or form, and they have to have a revenue generating ask. So their grant is specifically to fund a project that will help their business grow and increase their overall revenue. Because of that, we've had businesses that have been in business, 5 to 7 years, mm-hmm. that have had a revenue generating ask. And we've had businesses that have been in business 3 to 4 months that have had a revenue generating ask. And the common thing with both of those is that they both were already in business, already had the ability to show that they were doing business, serving clients, selling products or whatever. And they were able to show real, if I get X amount of dollars, I can spend it in X way that will increase my long-term revenue by X.
So at some of these businesses that you've worked with, what are some of the successes they've had as a result of receiving funding from GIFT?
Yeah, so there are a few of them that have had some really good successes. One of them is a business called Hall Pros. They're a moving company. When they came to us, they already had about 9 employees. They had really great word of mouth. They were turning away business. But one of their trucks broke down. They were down to one truck. They could not get a loan because he was cash apping all of his employees, right? He didn't have a payroll system and he didn't understand how to, like, create one. But he was also, you'd call him and he'd have a couch in his hand. Like, he's the one that is still actually, being deep in the business, doing the work. And so we gave him $25,000 as well as a year's worth of technical assistance. We got a payroll system set up for him. He was able to purchase a second truck. And so this was January of 2021. We were able to do that. He is grown now. He now has a staff of 33 and he's opening up a second. So he does a lot of trips to Vegas. And so he's actually opening up a lot of moves to Las Vegas. And so he's opening up a second office in Las Vegas. He went from around $8,000 to $10,000 in revenue per quarter before he got a grant from us to around $100,000 in revenue per quarter after his first year. And now he's up to around $1 million in sales for the year. So yeah, he's one that has some really, really good growth and success. We have a business that does peach cobbler, and she started during the pandemic with her grandmother's peach cobbler recipe, and it's called Sweet Peaches Cobbler. And now we gave them $25,000 to increase their production, hire some employees, and long story short, she just got a national deal. National grocery store deal to carry her peach cobbler in Hy-Vee grocery stores around the country. And so things like those are two of the 63 that we've given grants to that have been able to implement it, like to use the money in a really intentional way that, turns that $25,000 into much, much more.
That is huge. That is huge. Yeah. You got to pump them up more because those are your case studies. Yeah. Yeah. So another component of GIFT is the business center. And how does that work? Do people just drop by or is there like formal programming that they register for? How exactly does that piece work?
Yeah. So the business center is you go online and you can schedule all kinds of appointments and then you show up and it's completely free and it's a one-stop shop for your business. And so that is our newest program. It's only been open for a little bit over a year. So 14 months now is how long it's been open. And it was born out of just necessity. So, when we created the program, again, I did the survey, asked people what they needed, and we built our grant program based off of that. You know, in our first year, we gave out one grant a month. Year two, we gave out two grants a month. We were getting hundreds of applications. In year one, we gave out 14 grants, and we had 100 applications in year one. And then in year two, we gave out, I want to say 22 or 20, we gave out more grants. I can't remember how many we gave up, but we had 100 applications in our first month of year two. And we also survey all of our grant recipients to see what's working and what's not. And one of the things we found is that the technical assistance has been extremely beneficial to the grant recipients. It has worked the way that we would hope that it would. And so while we're limited in the amount of money that we can give, we figured we could, you know, raise some money, allocate some resources, and be able to expand the number of businesses that we can help if we were to open up a one-stop shop business center. And so that's what that is. So that those same resources, the accounting, business coaching, legal, marketing, we basically replicate all of those in the business center for the general community, not on the same scale that we do it for our grant recipients, but it gives us a bigger volume of people. We also have co-working space, so free co-working space. You can just drop in and work on your business in the business center. We have a media studio, so we do headshots, product photos, product videos. People can come in there and they do their own podcast in there. And then we also have a really good relationship with a local bank here called Lead Bank. And Lead, they have an office in our business center, so people can come in and sit down and you can open up a bank account, you can apply for a loan, all of the benefits of actually being able to go into a bank, but it's just in our business center, so in a much less threatening environment. And so we were able to do that. And, you know, we are on 50th and Prospect in Kansas City, so it's deeper into the historically redlined area or the hood and than any other business center really is. And so because of that, the services that we provide it at no cost, and we're in a highly accessible area and location. You know, when I wrote the grant for it, we were thinking that we'd be able to help an additional 100 businesses a year. And when we wrapped up our first year, we had 971 businesses that have come through there, and they had booked around 2,700 appointments, and around 700 of those appointments got canceled. So we serviced around 2,000 of them, a little bit over 2,000 appointments. And so our business center has been doing really, really, really well in being able to help people create business accounts. We've seen a lot of people get scammed in trying to register their business. And, you know, they come in and they sit down with the business coach and we're like, okay, have you registered with the state? Have you done that first, you know, that step? And they're like, oh yeah, somebody else has done that for me and it's supposed to be coming in the mail. And we're like, no, that's not a thing. And so we've been able to, we've registered around 250 businesses at the business center this past year. It's been great. We've created marketing plans, websites, accounting systems. Our business center has been extremely, it's also worked the way that we thought that it would work, because we built it based off of the feedback of the people we were trying to build it for.
Oh, that's great. So the other professionals who work, if they in the business center, do they volunteer their time, or they just say, you know what, we want to help grow this with you?
Yeah, so we have a mix of, so we have a 7-person staff at Gift. Okay. And so Cornell, our COO, he actually does the marketing appointments himself. So he does all of our marketing. And so, you know, me and Cornell, so after we originally launched Gift, Chris never moved back to Kansas City. And so Cornell and myself, you know, Cornell was our marketing guy. I was our fundraising and programs person. And we've grown it, and we've grown it to, you know, 7 staff, and we still have marketing, fundraising, and programs, but it's just split between more than just the two of us. And so he's our marketing guru, and he does the one-on-one marketing sessions. People come in and sit down with him, and he will you know, use a platform like Wix or Shopify or something and actually help people build their website. And they walk out the door with a website that was thoughtfully built. And then we have some volunteer business coaches, as well as a contractor for business coaching. Some of our board members volunteer as business coaches as well. And then we have partnerships with some corporations. And so we have a partnership with Hush Blackwell. They're a large law firm. They have office hours to provide pro bono legal consultation. Same thing with Lead Bank. You know, they come in and they provide that for free. So a mix between some staff, some volunteers, some corporate partners, and then some contractors.
Okay. So you grew up in Kansas City. What is it about the city, or most importantly, what is it about you that makes you want to give back to the city in this way?
I grew up on the east side of Kansas City, right? And I saw firsthand a lot of poverty, a lot of violence, a lot of the challenges on the east side. And when you grow up and you learn more and you understand that it was, you know, all the scenarios that I experienced were not by coincidence and were designed like the it was an area that was designed to be the way that it is. It's a little frustrating and upsetting. Very early on, one of my commitments was that I wanted to have an impact specifically on the area that I grew up in, because I wanted to prevent future generations from experiencing the same things that I experienced. And because I didn't feel like there were people, I mean, obviously I could be wrong, likely was, but I didn't feel like there were people actively working on trying to do that when I was young. And so my background before nonprofit is fitness. And so I actually have a degree in exercise physiology. And so one of my first jobs was trying to get, I was a high school football coach. When I was 19, I was a strength and conditioning coach for a high school football team. And my goal was specifically to get high school kids to college so that we could get them access to higher education. And so we did that for a little bit, but life happened, could get further and further and further. And so when the opportunity presented itself, when it progressed in my career and had specifically some experience in running a business as well as learning the nonprofit industry. And so when I saw Chris's post, it spoke to me on a whole lot of different levels, because when we created the thing, you know, I was 29, right? So it was 10 years after my job as a high school football coach, but I had never, like, my goal and purpose had never changed. And so I had been thinking for a very long time about how to do something on a larger scale to have the greatest impact on the greatest number of people. The thing that really compelled me to move forward with GIFT is that the skill set that I have in, you know, bridging the nonprofit and for-profit worlds in fundraising and organizational management and development, it felt like if I had all these skills and sat on them and did nothing with them, then it's the same thing as, you know, if I have the tools and means to better the community I came from and I don't use it, then I don't see that as being different than actively tearing the community down.
Wow, that's incredible. Are there any plans to expand beyond Kansas City to other areas?
Yeah, so we've gotten interest from places like St. Louis and or from people in St. Louis and people in places like Atlanta and obviously Houston. We've talked about it, and the goal is to make sure that we're stable here in Kansas City and, you know, what stability looks like. You know, so I mentioned earlier, we've given out $1.2 million over the course of 3 years. We have seen around, so 109 new jobs created over that 3 year time frame. And so that's amazing. And 100 jobs in 3 years is 33 jobs a year at on average. The racial wealth gap in Kansas City is the same as what it is around the country. It's 10 to 1. And if we're talking about closing or having an impact on that racial wealth gap, 33 jobs a year isn't going to cut it. It's not going to, it won't make a dent. We won't be doing our job. We won't be doing our part of trying to close that racial wealth gap at 33 jobs a year. And so what our data shows us is that $1 million or every $10,000 we give, we create around one job. And so when we get to the point here in Kansas City where we're able to put out $1 million a year into Black businesses on the East Side and can comfortably say that we create 90 to 100 jobs a year and we can coast on doing that, then I will consider Kansas City stable and we'll be able to look at going into another market and building it into another market. One of the reasons that it works so well in Kansas City is because we understand the challenges of Kansas City. And I don't understand the challenges of St. Louis or Houston or Atlanta. And so it will take a lot of time and effort and coordination to make that happen, to make sure the gift model stays true to what it is and also works in another city. So yeah, we have plans to expand. We're on track. So we are at the beginning of year four now. We're on track that by the middle to end of year five, we should be having some serious conversations about expanding.
That would be good. And I imagine it's going to take partnering with people in those other cities who
right.
know the city layout the way you all know Kansas City. So
exactly.
You know what that city needs and how to deliver it.
Right.
Yeah. Okay. Good to know. All right. So here comes the best part. How do businesses get in touch with GIFT if they want to participate in the programming?
Yeah, so you can go online, kansascitygift.org. You can find us on all the social media, so Instagram, Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and I think we even have a TikTok now. So it's just Kansas City Gift on all of those platforms. Yeah, and so, or you can come up to our business center, so 5008 Prospect Avenue in Kansas City. And we have 7 staff, we have an office manager, and so we're open Monday through Friday, 9 to 5. Anybody can come up there and get connected with us that way as well.
I love that. And here's another important piece. What about those people in the community, and not just in Kansas City, but nationally throughout the rest of the country, who want to invest or who want to sow into GIFT? Because I know when corporations aren't giving, it is incumbent upon us as a community to help one another and uplift one another. So
right.
how can we help you?
Yeah. So, I mean, our motto is if 15,000 people donate $10 a month, that has been that was the message that we started with in that Facebook group. It's the message that we launched with beyond the Facebook group. And it is what, we raised around $100,000 from people before we ever got any money from a foundation or corporation. And so without individuals, all of the numbers and outcomes and jobs that I talked about, none of those exist without the individuals that supported GIFT in its infancy and supported our growth. And so we would definitely encourage people to go online and make a donation. So you can go to kansascitygift.org. Or you can text GIFT KC to 44321 and you'll get a donation link right to your phone.
All right. That's good to know. So one of the things we like to do here at MBE Magazine is give people the information and resources they need to grow their businesses and succeed. So thank you, Brandon, for being a part of our mission. And thank you all for joining us on another episode of Diversity Discourse, the official podcast of MBE Magazine. I will see you in the pages.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Diversity Discourse, the official podcast of Minority Business Entrepreneur Magazine. We hope you enjoyed it. Please be sure to subscribe so that we can join you again. For more tips and notes from the show, check us out at mbemag.com. And to find out which guests and topics we'll be discussing next, sign up for our newsletter at mbemag.com/pulse. That's MBEMAG.com/PULSE. We'll talk to you next time.